Hi, I'm officially like £4 heavier. Only £4, but three cakes later, and some American recipes with heavy cream. But I loved it, so thanks so much. Especially the... Was it? Oh, man. Royal Britannia. Great British Bake Off. Very good. No, not really. So, myself and Amber, we've got a bit of a love of America. I don't know if you knew that. We're always talking about America, aren't we, Amber? I have to go back every so often, otherwise, say go back. I have to go every so often, otherwise, I'm not actually from there, but I get withdrawal symptoms. I love America. My best friend, I'll tell you a little story. My best friend, Abigail, one of my best friends, I've got quite a lot of friends, but one of my best friends, Abigail, when we were 16 at school, they asked us to draw a picture of what we would look like at 21 years old. In fact, we were 13, actually. And she drew a picture of herself in America, in Florida, with a red truck. She drew a picture of herself. And man just looked weird. I'd like, got like this 90s hair going on. I don't know who I thought I was at the time. But my friend Abigail drew that. And see, my friend Abigail was a Christian, parents are pastors, and she ended up emigrating to Florida at 21, marrying a guy that works at NASA. And when she was 21, she had a photo taken. She was stood with a red truck that she owned. So I just get out there as often as I can. I was in New York earlier this year for my 40th birthday. So I don't know. There's a little bit of something. I don't know what God's doing inside. I'm not saying I'm going to go live there. Maybe I might do a short-term thing in the future. Maybe a few years. I don't know. But God knows the future, right? But you have to sometimes pay attention to what God's doing inside. And just have a think about it as well. But hey, so this afternoon, just a little bit of a testimony. Just go to the first slide for me, Amber. If you want to just click back to the one with the Disney photo. See, that's us in Florida last year. So let me tell you a little story about this, because God is real. Right? So my daughter, Bethany, said to me, "Mummy, I want to go to Florida. And I want to go to Disney." And I'm like, "Yeah, so do I. And my friends also live there." So she's like, "Mummy, let's pray to Jesus." Okay, so we pray to Jesus. Jesus, would you, give us enough money to go to Florida? Amen, amen. Okay. About 6 months later, we were just at home. Got a phone call out of the blue from a young couple. Totally not expecting this. They said, "God has laid it on our hearts by his spirit to send you guys to Disney, Florida. Tickets paid, flights paid, everything paid." They said, "We're going to wire £4,000 into your bank account. Just give us your details." So that, we got park tickets across all parks. It was like 2-for-1, kind of 2 weeks for 1, including your photo pass. I got to see my best friend in the middle of it. Went out down to Cocoa Beach or whatever it is down there on Merritt Island and all that. It was just brilliant. I'm telling you, God's real. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, I'll give you another story. See, the ladies that were here, brilliant to hear their testimony. So cool, because we just know that God's real. We know he's with us. We know life can, sometimes it can throw you some turbulence, some rough air. And I don't like rough air in aeroplanes, because that's when I start promising God what I can't deliver. I'm like, "Don't let me die, Jesus." And especially when the air stewards and stewardesses are sat there with a pale face, I'm thinking, "Jesus, I'm sorry for anything I've ever done wrong." And then the seatbelt sign goes ping, and everyone's looking at me, "Weird lady." Right. Okay, so, what was I going to tell you? God's real. So, just a little bit of my story before I go on to this is, when I was going to Bible college as a mature student, I've been a school teacher and done quite a few short-term missions, and I told you the story about the lake. I'd met this guy called Edward, which I just kind of, he was a pastor of the church locally, and he was single. But he was kind of on the periphery of my radar. You know, when you're a single woman, you've got somebody on your radar, and they're like just out there. You just kind of, you know, there they are, God. You know, God. I'm not going to go stalking him, but anyway, one day, about 18 months later, okay, so God had healed my heart. I'd become a mission coordinator at the AOG Bible College in the UK, Assemblies of God Bible College, sending out 110 students out every year on mission, taking mission teams, lecturing on missions at that point. So I'd done my studies, but still living on campus. And I was actually working there. And one day, this old pastor called Brian Niblock. Brian Niblock came up to me after a mission training thing that we were doing at the college. And he said to me, "Rachel, what do you want to do with your life?" I said, "Well, Brian, I want to do loads of mission stuff and blah, 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 blah." He said, "You need to be married." I thought, whoa, that's a bit direct. But he's actually from New Zealand, right? He's from New Zealand. And maybe I just thought, okay, it's a New Zealand thing. Maybe they're just like, you know, shoot from the hip. So I was like, okay, yeah. I said, yeah, that's true. Okay, I do need to be married. I'm glad you get my humour. I'm a bit out there. All right, okay. And so he said to me, "You need to be married." I said, "Yeah, I know." And then I thought, well, if you've been that direct with me, I'll be direct with you. I said, "There's a young man called Edward Isitt." And I said, I do like him, and he's a pastor. He says, "Oh, I know Edward." I said, "Yeah, but I'm not sure he likes me." He said, "Well, let's pray right now that he makes a move." And so I was like, okay. So I'm stood there. This, no joke. This is the honest truth. And he stood there, an old pastor. Here's me. And we're praying that Edward, his surname's Isitt. That's my surname. It used to be James, a lot simpler. Now Edward Isitt. Rachel Isitt. And so Edward, he said, "We pray right now, God, that if Edward's the right man for Rachel, he will make a move." No joke. I walked from here to just past where the kitchen is. We finished talking in the lecture room. I was walking toward like the refectory, the you know, food area, and I'd had a missed call on my phone. I phoned it back, called it back. Hello? He said, "Oh, hi. Sorry, you missed my call. It's Edward. Would you like to go to the cinema tonight?" No joke. Within half a minute. You don't tell me God's not real. He's real. I've got a ring on my finger to prove it. And you can ask Edward the same story. And this is his side of the story. I might sound extreme, but I know God's real. His side of the story. He was in the NatWest Bank. Right, Edward is a logical man. He's a Christian. He's not one of these like, woo, you know. He's a Christian. He loves God. He's logical. He's in the NatWest Bank. Okay. He's banking a check, he's writing the thing out, and he had this overwhelming urge, like that sense in his heart, overwhelming sense in his heart, to get out of the line, get outside, and phone me up because it was now or never. Wow. That's God. That's God. Now, when I say, it's a true story, when I say that God is interested in every single detail, okay? Now, some of my words may not come out right. I've been awake since 4 o'clock and had a crazy week. But you get my gist, right? You get what I'm talking about. God is real and he's interested in every detail. Okay, we'll move on to the sermon. I just wanted to share that with you because I've had some extra sugar in my blood. It's like, woo, it's on the ceiling. All right, but it's true. And Edward's going to preach you tomorrow, and it's a true story. You can ask him the same thing. Okay, we're going to go to Propelled. Okay. Paul the Apostle, you and I, we have seasons where God calls us. The undeniable call of God, you know that is on your life. We have seasons where everything seems to be working. Then we have seasons of disappointment and seasons in the wilderness where we wonder what is going on. True. Like, are you actually there, Lord? You feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. You have those seasons. And then you have seasons where something or someone or God himself encourages you. You know, he's a God of encouragement, and he wants to encourage you. And in Paul's life, Barnabas came to find him. Said, come on, you know, let's go back. And then you have seasons where you're propelled. And where all of a sudden the pace picks up. And all of a sudden all the prayers that you've been praying, the things that you've been asking God for, suddenly begin to occur. Does that make sense? And I think God wants to take us from being grounded in terms of you're not moving anywhere, you're not doing anything, to that season of momentum and movement and actual pilgrimage. Because in that Psalm 84 that I mentioned before, it talks about the valley of Baca, or Bakar, however you say it. And it actually means that it says, as you walk through the valley of Bakar, or as they walk through the valley of Bakar, those pilgrim people, they make it a place of springs. That means as they pass through the valley of Bakar, the place of Bakar, they don't know where it is, but they say that everyone's been there. It's a place of weeping, dryness, and tears. Anybody been there? Place of weeping, dryness, and tears. And they said as they walk through that, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. And how do you make somewhere a place of springs? I guess you have to dig deep, hit the water table, because somewhere down there is water. Because they make it a place of springs. But then they're passing through it, you see. They're on the way to Zion, the people of pilgrimage. And, you know, God wants to kind of take some people that may be feeling a bit stuck in the mud today and propel you into the next level of what he's got for you. And, you know, it kind of struck me today, just as some of the ladies were talking, you know, it's not an easy thing to be out of your context, you know, if you're away from home, away from family, I get that. And it's not an easy thing, but I want to say that you're in God's plan. Does that make sense? And you being here is in God's plan, his overarching sovereign plan over your lives. And I'm praying for grace for people here that are needing grace, you know, today. Is that okay? So Paul, in Acts 13, let me just read a little bit here. It says, now the church at Antioch, so he'd come home. In the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. When I say come home, he'd come back to Antioch, actually. Barnabas had brought him back in into the area where the church was beginning to bubble, okay? Antioch. Now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, what a difference from being sent back home to Tarsus to suddenly being in the epicenter of what God was doing in the New Testament church at that time in Antioch with the main guys being sent by the Holy Spirit, okay, along with Barnabas. And God was doing something of movement and momentum. And the first thing I want to talk about is propelled. Go to the next slide. In a season, in a time of praise, because it says while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, in that praising, in that worshiping atmosphere, okay, it was in that atmosphere that was charged with God that God began to speak the momentum over Paul's life, which would then push him into his missionary journeys. Which if you've got an old school NIV map in the back of your Bible, I used to love tracing them when I was bored as a kid, looking at, you know, in sermons, like I'd just go to the back of my Bible and look at the maps. Those maps at the back of your Bible, that was a propulsion of God over Paul from this point. You know, no longer had he been sent to Coventry. He was in a season where the elders and the leaders in that church were worshipping and fasting and praying. that God sent him and God spoke. And so propelled in a time of worship and praise. So what am I saying about that? Our perspective shifts and God begins to work when we praise. We've heard it already. When we start to think, say, God, I love you just because you're God. Whether life's going right, whether it's going wrong, whether I'm single, whether I'm married, whether my bank account's full, whether it's empty and kind of teetering on the zero, minus 20, zero, minus 50, zero, minus 1,000. Oh dear, I'm getting a letter from the bank. It doesn't matter. God is still worthy to be praised. He's still on a good day, on a bad day. You know, when I forget to hand out the letters at the end of the day and the secretary's on my case, God is still good. And that was my fault. But God is still good. Even when I'm forgetful, God is still good. And he's still worthy to be praised. In that atmosphere, let me tell you now, God is going to move in your life in terms of propelling you and projecting you forward. It's going to do something. It's going to change your perspective. Does anybody need a change of perspective today? I'll tell you a little story. When I was doing one of my mission trips in that season when I was at the Bible College, in fact, it's just before me and Edward got together. And I was actually in Poland with a team of students, and we'd gone to the Gdansk. Okay, if you've ever been to Gdansk, it's a beautiful place. It's like a Christmas card kind of, postcard kind of lovely town, Gdansk. And we'd gone there with some students to the Pentecostal church to do a little mission for like 12 days or something. And while we were there, and I was leading the team at the time, it was freezing. It became like minus 15, and I don't know if I caught a cold or a chill, but I remember one night just feeling really sick, and I was so poorly, really poorly, and I had to let the team carry on doing what they were doing in the day, and I just had to lie in bed. I'm not like a sickly person normally. Seriously, I'm not. But that just for a few days, I was really ill, and I remember waking up one early morning. We had to go back to the airport to get back home, and I remember feeling so poorly at Gdansk Airport. And I remember just thinking, I remember putting my earphones in, just listening to some Chris Tomlin. I felt really weak, and I was just like, started listening to this music. Yeah. One of the songs was, it was back in the day, okay, so you're talking like 11 years ago, and it was, "How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? You know, I'm loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing." I'm not going to sing it for you, but it's a lovely song. And I remember just standing there, and I started to worship God. And I'm telling you something, I began to feel a lot better. I began to feel stronger. Something kind of changed in my perspective. That's only a small example, but praise and worship is powerful. Especially when life's going difficult. Now, I don't talk about the devil a lot, but I'm just going to kind of mention this. My dad and my mum, brilliant Christians, brought me up in the ways of God and everything like that. My dad always used to say to me, "Rachel, don't let the devil jump up and down on your trampoline." Do you know what a trampoline is? He said, do you know what I mean by that? Stuff that's going to just bug you. So don't let him. So, because there's always something that's going to bug you when you're trying to serve God. And, you know, and he'll kind of press the buttons and try and distract. Start praising God. Stick the praise tape on even louder, okay? There's a few songs that I really like, and they're old school songs, and one of them is by a band called the Parachute Band. And anybody know the old Jack Hayford, Pastor Jack Hayford? Anyone heard of him? He part wrote this song with the Parachute Band, and it's called "All the Earth." That's another one I love to listen to. "All the earth will declare that your love is everywhere. The seas will exult," or "fields will exult, the seas resound. Hear the trees' joyful cry, praising you," and so on. I'll just kind of start singing this in the car. You know, when life's going bad, I turn it up. It's old school, it's 90s. But I'm like singing it, and the veins are popping out of my neck. People think I'm crazy at the traffic lights, weird lady. But I don't care, because I'm praising God. Because life may be not what I'm wanting right now, but God is still on the throne. He's still worthy to be praised right now, today. And it changes our focus. And I think when we start to praise and worship God, things begin to look different. Things don't look so difficult, you know. And sometimes, there are seasons of mourning. There are seasons of difficulty. And, there are seasons that are really hard. But then there's a season. There is a season to mourn, but then there's a season to kind of put that mourning aside. And I was just talking to Edward about the King David when he lost actually a child. I was talking about it last night, I think it was. And he had a season of mourning, but then he washed his face and he began to live again. Does that make sense? Now there's a season to heal. And I think we have to go through that for the healing of the bruising of the soul almost. But then there's a season to walk in to healing, full healing. Does that make sense? And it's not that we forget what's happened in the past. God can use all of that. But, you know, there is a way forward. And praise and worship is really important. So it creates an atmosphere in which God can speak. So next one on the slide is propelled by prayer. Okay. Paul understood the need for prayer on his actual missionary journeys. So he was given a very clear call, was Paul, to be a light to the Gentiles, actually. And he went to the Jews and then he went to the Gentiles. He was given a very clear call. But actually, he knew that prayer was really important. I don't know if you've ever had seasons in your life, but just pay attention to it from time to time. When God is telling you to maybe set aside time, it might be to give up Facebook for a bit or Twitter or whatever it is, for a bit, or if that's difficult, because my fingers are starting to twitch just thinking about it, but maybe fast some meals, and it's difficult, because then when you fast, you often remove yourself from company as well, which is extra hard, because a lot happens around meal times. But, you know, maybe there might be a season where God may be saying to you, for this week, just fast one meal a day, and just spend some time with me, like really. Because it's in those times when God starts to speak that God starts to speak to you about prayer, actually, that it's actually going to fuel you for a future season as well, I believe. Does that make sense? I've found that when God starts to ask me to draw aside a little bit more in prayer, more than the usual, it's usually for something that's coming up ahead. Not necessarily something terribly, you know, difficult. It's just something that you're going to need extra prayer for. It could be ministry, a season of ministry, or in the next bit. And prayer, Paul was propelled by the fact that he prayed. And there's a guy who wrote an article called Dwayne K. Buller. I think he must be a missiologist, a clever man. And he said, enlisting the prayers of those who are the fruit of his previous missionary travels, Paul uses the Greek word, bear with me, koinonia, a word often translated fellowship or communion, to describe this partnership. So basically, Paul, on his missionary journeys, used his converts to pray for him for specific things. He fellowshipped in prayer with those people regarding his missionary service. Does that make sense? Now, what I'm saying is, get your friends to pray with you. That's basically, let's put it in plain my kind of English. Get your friends to pray with you, to join together in prayer. There's power in prayer. And I don't think Amber will mind me saying this, but Amber is a prayer woman. And I asked her, when Richard came on our trustees for your mission, I said, Amber, I need you to pray for us. Because she's got a call to prayer. Does that make sense? Seriously. And something in the heavenlies that she's got the extra something from God to pray. So you need to get people on board and on your side to pray with you about what you're going through. Is that okay? Now you've got to choose those people carefully. Just be wise about what you tell to who, but definitely get people on side. So what did Paul pray for? He was propelled. And I want to put this down to our lives as well. Paul prayed for open doors, said this Dwayne K. Buller. And it's quite true. Colossians 4:3. Paul prayed for open doors for the gospel. That's a great thing for you and me to pray for. And you know, it's amazing how quickly God will answer those prayers. And it's quite frightening how quickly God answers the prayers for open doors for the gospel. And so we have to be able to be ready to do what he says, because it's quite frightening. And it usually ends up when you're in the co-op and God tells you to go and talk to somebody and you're like, no, God. And he's like, yes. Okay. And pray for clear communication of that gospel message. So when you're preaching, when you're talking to people out there in the streets that need Jesus, you know, we're in a post-Christian Great Britain where 50% of the people out there do not give anything, no concern toward God, 50%. Tomorrow morning, they're not in church. They're out shopping, anything else but God. They need God, And we need to know how to clearly communicate the good news of Jesus. That actually the message goes out and it's clearly transmitted. Paul prayed for a responsiveness to the gospel in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. That people's hearts would be open. You know, people have a lot of set bias. Does that make sense? We have a set bias in our own life due to our upbringing, due to what's been filled in our ears, you know? So you know, the 2 days that I do school teaching, if ever I hear children saying anything non-politically correct, shall we put it that way, I know it's not from them at age 5 or 6. It's coming from home. It's not coming from them. It's coming from home. And so we all have a set bias, culturally too. We need to understand that. But, you know, we need to pray into people's set bias. So some people will have a set bias that I am brainwashed. Does that make sense? So we need to pray that they'll be responsive to the gospel and that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and they'll be speaking words of knowledge that they cannot deny that God is real. Does that make sense? So what if you had a word of knowledge for somebody at the checkout in Asda that's so specific to them? They're like, whoa, how do you know that? You know, well, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? That would be really, really cool. And so let's pray for that. And he prayed for physical and spiritual protection too. We need to pray for that. You know, 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul asked his prayer partners to pray for physical and spiritual protection. If you want to be propelled in God to the next level, you need physical and spiritual protection, trust me. Okay, myself and my husband, we do quite a lot of mission stuff, you know. We were just out in Malaysia, in Southeast Asia, where God seems to have opened up a door, and I think that will be our next focus for the next few years. One day, maybe America, right? But for the next few years, you know, Malaysia on short-term trips, okay? And, you know, one of the trips that we went on, we were in a highly, very rich person's house. He was really, I suppose, historically Buddhist. And in this person's, in fact, it was a big apartment in a very expensive part of Kuala Lumpur. And his wife was a Christian, but he wasn't. And they got twin children, probably two boys, I think. And they weren't sleeping very well in their room. So we went round to pray in their house. And he decided, he wasn't a Christian, but he decided to get rid of all the Buddhist idols. It's a beautiful apartment, right? This woman, I'm not joking, she had like a walk-in wardrobe, okay, really rich, right? And they asked us to pray in each room, you know, to pray for God to just bless the house. Like, I don't normally pray in each room, but they wanted that, so that's cool. I'll ask Jesus to bless the house, that's fine. And they wanted to get rid of these idols. Anyway, her walk-in wardrobe was so big. Floor-to-ceiling shoes, you know, like Jimmy Choo, and then handbags all around. And I was like, all different kinds of coloured clothing, all in racks. And I'm like, this is heaven. I was like, this is amazing. Anyway, I remember Edward saying, while we were in that room, he said, I can sense the presence of God in this room. And the Christian wife said, yes, because I pray in here. Anyway, we got rid of the idols, and I remember they got them all on the table. And I remember that night having a really bad nightmare. And this is only a few weeks ago. And I felt like something was crushing me into the bed, like really trying to kill me. Do you know what I mean? And I remember in this dream, it was awful. It kind of felt real. And I said, Jesus. And I kind of woke up and just forgot about it. But you still need spiritual protection. It doesn't mean that the devil's not going to jump up and down on your trampoline, because I don't think he was very happy actually that day, because I got that guy to think about going to an Alpha course. He was a business owner. He was a lawyer. And HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton, has actually got a church plant in Malaysia. And I said, look, why don't you go along to the course? It's written by somebody that was a lawyer, okay, called Nicky Gumbel. So he was a lawyer. It's written by him. So why don't you go to the course? And he was going to do it. So I don't think the enemy was very happy. And, you know, he can't touch me, but he can kind of try and freak you out from time to time. You need spiritual protection, okay? I'm just telling you that. Is that all right? And that's not to freak, and I'm not giving any credence to the enemy on saying that. I'm giving credence to Jesus that he's with us, okay? And still got to be bold, right? But, you know, that's why I've got to have spiritual protection, physical protection. Propelled by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just go back to spiritual protection. You know, I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but, you know, just before you're about to get baptized, things can get a bit turbulent.
Why do you think that is? You need spiritual protection. Do you want me to just start? I'll just leave it there, okay? Let's draw a line on that one. Propelled by the Holy Spirit. Next one. The Holy Spirit. We know in Acts 1 verse 8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There's a power that is bestowed on us by the Spirit of God, and we all need that power. And in Acts 13 verse 4, it says, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. If you want any kind of momentum, any kind of pilgrimage, any kind of movement in your life, you have to be sent by the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit in our lives. Is that okay? We all need it. We can ask God for more of his power. They went to Seleucia, went to Cyprus, to Salamis, and they preached the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Interesting. The next one I'm just going to put, and then I'm going to kind of close up on the screen here, is leadership. They were propelled by honoring leadership. This is really important on every level. I'll just go back to my friend Jack Hafer. Just stick your hand in the air if you know him. I don't know him personally, but yeah. I've really gotten into his teaching at the moment, by the way. There's something that you can subscribe to online. I think one of the statesmen of the Christian faith in my lifetime, incredible teacher of the Word of God. If you want to grow in the Word of God, just kind of look up some of his sermons. Jack Hafer, great guy. Now, he has got a church in California, or did have, I guess he's passed it on now, he's probably in his 80s, called Church on the Way in California. And this church, he said that he was part of, the Foursquare gospel movement. And he said that he was getting so big as a church, he didn't necessarily have to then, he thought, do we have to kind of pay our subscription to, you know, the denomination? Because we could become our own thing. Save ourselves a whole heap of money. You know what I mean? Because you probably pay a percentage. That's just the way it works when you're part of a denomination. And he said, maybe we could just kind of cut ourselves off and just become our own thing. Then he felt God say, no, if you're in it, you pay. You pay. It doesn't matter if your tithes and offerings are going up into the millions. You know, he was one of the first mega churches in the States, by the way. Jack Hayford's church. One of the first mega churches. Probably the first. Huge. It was growing exponentially. But he said, no, if I'm going to be part of it, I'm going to pay into it. And that was honoring the greater leadership. Does that make sense? I think there's something in that. I remember a missionary guy, a great young man, he was a Cambridge graduate, really clever, spoke like Prince Charles. Never met anybody so posh in my life. It's really, really posh. That's not posh. But he was really posh. Really posh. Very clever young man. He's an agricultural specialist now in Laos. He's an AOG missionary from the UK called Edward Allen. And I remember him saying to me about over a decade ago, he said, Rachel, you know, the most dangerous things in Christianity are mavericks. He said, mavericks are like free radicals in the body of Christ. They cause cancer. I was like, whoa. Okay, so what am I saying about all that? That's kind of a strange thing to say. What am I saying about whatever you do, if God gives you something to do or something that you want to do for him, or if God is speaking to you about something in terms of ministry, service, being on that pilgrimage to be all you can be in God, you know, definitely go under leadership. Definitely get their blessing, okay? We're not talking about, you know, we've all got to do three bows to the pastor. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, in our hearts, okay, we've got to honor. Does that make sense? Now, it gets tested sometimes, our honor. Sometimes we might think we know better than whichever leadership we put ourselves under. And for some of us, that'll be an interesting one because you'll have a home church in the States and then you'll have spiritual leadership here. But, you know, you've got to work that one through. And I'd say that where you are, come under the leadership, you know, as well as honoring those that maybe are back home too, you know. But be honoring of spiritual leadership. Keep people in the loop. Talk to them. You know, say something to him. You know, I've got this kind of idea. And I was talking to a missionary lady last week, just really quickly, and she'd been out in Africa, and she was just saying that when she came back, she'd still got Africa in her heart. She won't mind me saying this lovely story. She still got Africa in her heart. But at the senior leadership, the pastors said, okay. But they had kind of just a sense that they listened to her. But actually, it was a season in her life where she needed to be back in the UK. And she found that out a little bit later. Does that make sense? I don't think she'd mind me saying that. But there was a season where she really, spiritual leadership, it's not like they're being dictators. They're put there by God to oversee. Does that make sense? That's an uncomfortable thing that I'm saying, but I'm just saying, submit to your leaders. At least talk to them about stuff. If you've got a heart to do something for God, have a chat to them. And then you'll be propelled in the right way. And Hebrews 10:25 talks about not neglecting meeting together as well. So to kind of join together as a church from sometime, you know, time to time, every Sunday if you can, and in the week. You know, the church family can be the most wonderful place, and it can also be the most difficult place from time to time, because it's like your family, do you know what I mean? And all of us are from different walks of life, and naturally speaking out there, you know, if birds of a feather flock together, we might kind of be with different groups, just because maybe I'm just kind of, I don't know, going to be with the people that have eaten too much sugar or something, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but that each of us maybe, but when we come together as a body of Christ, we've got Christ at the center of us. It's a great unifying thing, but also it's important to join together and be together and be part of an established church. Does that make sense? Under leadership. Last one, propelled for purpose. Okay, Paul had a clear calling and purpose to be a light to the Gentiles, and this gave him a clear direction in his life. There is a purpose. There's a purpose why you've been born. I'm just going to ask maybe the gentleman on the keyboard, if you wouldn't mind just coming back. I'm just going to just lead us in a little bit of a time of maybe just reflecting before God what God has said to us today. Just for a few minutes, and I'll hand back over to Amber. And we'll just see what God does in these next few minutes. So if you just want to bow your heads, I'll just ask for a bit of just some music in the background, just to kind of help us reflect. I think it's helpful. It's helpful for our soul. You know, David in the Bible, when he played his the instrument, he was anointed, and it calmed the situation down. There's an anointing when musicians play with excellence and they play for the service of God. There's something there of God. And I just want to say, you know, today, this afternoon, just reflect before the Lord on what you've been hearing today from the different ladies. Each person brought something special and unique, like the facet of a diamond, really. Something from the heart of God. It's actually really blended in together well about being propelled into our next season. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to move and to come in His power. Lord, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, Lord, we just pray, descend upon us right now. Your power, you're here anyway, but Lord, just do something special. Come, Lord, we pray. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you give us 2020 vision to see things very clearly regarding our lives, regarding our season of preparation, about our season of being propelled into where you've got for us. The Bible tells us that without prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. Without the revelation of God, without vision, people cast off restraint. And I just want to say that God wants to give you vision, primarily through His Word. His Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And also through that, I guess that now word, that rhema word, that now word. God wants to speak to you a now, right now word. That is so relevant. So accurate. Some of you, I think something that happened yesterday, I was walking to my local co-op in the rain. It'd been a pretty rotten day and I was feeling rubbish and tired. And I saw in the rainy sky a rainbow, big rainbow, really high arch. It's quite faint, but there it was. God's promises still stand over your life. May be feeling the rain. You may be feeling in your soul that life's, what's going on, God? But His promises still stand. Just look up. His promise is still there over your life. Some of you have been given promises from years ago. It's the kind of thing that you underline in your Bible, that you go back to again and again because it was God's word to you then. Kind of maybe sometimes it maybe even stand out on the page almost to you, or something just hits your spirit when you read that verse. God's saying, go back to it, because that's what I'm saying to you right now. For some of you, got those key verses in your life, that maybe even a key word out of the Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. In Jesus' name. You know, from what Amber said earlier, eyes are going to be closed. I don't think I'm going to call anyone forward. I might just ask for hands, and only I can see. Just want to ask, is there somebody here that's really struggling with that kind of sense of depression? Or just kind of, I don't know, it's a difficult thing to kind of put your hand up. Your hand might feel like lead and you're thinking, oh, I don't really want to put my hand up, but I just want to pray for you. I think there's something in the atmosphere. I want to pray for that to leave in Jesus' name. It's not welcome, that spirit of depression. So just see if there's somebody that maybe feels kind of down. Something's kind of hanging on to you. So we're kind of hanging over you. If that's you, just pop your hand in the air. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Lord, I just pray for these precious women that are made in the image of God. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that sense of heaviness will lift, that kind of 10-ton weight that just feels so heavy, a sense of rejection, things that people have said. I just pray that will lift and be broken in the name of Jesus. Just ask simply. While I'm praying, other people, you just start to pray. If you can speak in tongues, maybe quietly just speak in tongues and ask God just to stir something, just quietly. And begin to pray in agreement with me, please. It's not just kind of me at the front. Just pray in agreement with me, because God wants to do something for these two precious souls. Nobody else can see, but the lady at the back, the person there, you know who you are. God has got something for your future, and He wants to use you to reach other people for Him, to give you a purpose, to give you a reason to get up in the morning, to give you a reason to get out of bed. He wants to use you with your family, with your friends. And the things that you've thought were out of the question in your life, you said, almost said to God, God, that's out of the question. That's not possible for me. God's saying, yes. Yes. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I love you. God said He loves you to bits. He loves you. Receive His love right now. In Jesus' name. receive his love right now. Okay, I'm going to pray now for people that need physical healing. If you've got something, and in a room this size, I think at least half of us will have something that's bugging us, ailing us, something that we're having to go to the doctors for. And God says to some of us that you're taking that like it's your business. You know, you've got your doctor's appointments in your phone. It's like, yeah, this is my business. And God's saying, healing is my business. Jehovah Rapha, God my healer. God my healer. Lord, I just pray right now. Just pop your hand in the air as a matter of faith. Some of you, one of you, somebody here is urgent. It's not even like it's a joke anymore. There's somebody here, it's like an urgent matter. God wants to bring healing to you today. So just pop your hand up in the air, reach out. We've heard about the woman that reached out and she rose to the occasion. I think that was a kind of phrase that we heard, that she kind of wrote, she got up and she rose to the occasion. Do you know Jesus is here? He really is. Okay, we're going to pray. Jesus, just pray. It's kind of a weird thing I'm going to ask you to do now. Can you just, if you can reach your feet, but at least reach the top of your head. I can't actually touch my toes without bending my knees, so there we go. Especially not after the cake, but if you just touch the top of your head and the soles of your feet, if you need healing, just the top of your head. And I'm going to pray that God will touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Lord, I just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, for people that need healing today. And Lord, I just pray from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, if you can reach down to your foot or as far down as you can reach, that you will bring healing. I am the Lord that heals you. By his stripes you were healed. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for a measure of healing. Now, what I want to say to you is, if anybody came here that was on medication, you stay on that medication and you go and see your doctor. Okay? Does that make sense? Because we've had situations in the churches in the UK where people have stopped taking stuff because they feel better and it's kind of gone a bit south. Does that make sense? Gone wrong. So don't stop taking your medication, but go and see your doctor again. And God can override some stuff, do you know? There's one, he used to be the head of AOG in the UK called Paul Weaver. And he came to our church to preach. And he'd had trouble with his heart. He was the head of the Assemblies of God. And he had trouble with his heart. And I remember one day it was really scary. He collapsed on our stage after the meeting. And he was like taken by ambulance, and my husband and the pastor, my husband was the associate pastor, they had to go and see him in the hospital. Turns out, they tested him, and he was on too much medication. They needed to reduce it. So that's what I'm saying. Don't stop taking your medication, and don't go against doctor's advice. Does that make sense? Regarding medication. They are scientists, they know what they're talking about. And I believe God does use science as well. Paul said to Timothy, take a bit of wine for your stomach, say it. The person that found out about penicillin tapped into the knowledge of God when he did that. And I think everybody in this room's probably had some kind of penicillin, unless you're allergic, right? At some point, probably saved our lives. Somebody tapped into the knowledge of God. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of going to the doctors. That's not a cop-out. I'm not trying to save God's face. He can heal anyway, but just let's be wise about that too. Okay. Direction. Let's look forward now. Who needs? I'm going to talk about specific direction now. It's like something like along the lines of, I need to know which car to buy. I need to know which house to buy. I need to know which where to live. I need to know what to do about this situation. I'm not talking about big picture future calling now. I'm talking about something specific you need God to speak to you on. Maybe just pop your hand up. Maybe that's you. You need God to just something real, like practical maybe, or specific. Yeah? Okay, we're going to pray into that. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you for these women that have been honest about that. Lord, it's something of a decision that needs to be made or something specific that they need direction on. And Lord, we may make our plans, the Bible says, but you direct our steps. The steps of a righteous man, woman, are ordered by the Lord. So Lord, we just believe today that you're going to order the steps of people here. Something that happens to me, I don't know if it happens to you, it might help you. When I believe God's moving in my life, I feel almost like a pressure inside my heart. It's as if there's something churning of a movement that I know that I need to move. Does that make sense? I know I need to do something about it. Does that make sense? Now, the Bible talks about letting the peace of God reign. That's true. And I believe in that too. But there's times when God turns a pressure on. Like when someone turns a hose pipe on, they turn the pressure up. And God's turning the pressure on. Because he's wanting you to move. Something's going on inside. Navigate from your heart with God at the helm. And you'll know what to do. In Paul's missionary journeys, was he directed by the Holy Spirit, the winds and the waves, persecution, all three, but God was sovereign over all. Does that make sense? God will sometimes bring a pressure. There was a pressure of a storm that led Paul to Malta to bring the gospel to the person governing Malta and the people there to bring the gospel. Sometimes something will propel us into a certain direction. I'm not necessarily saying a storm, but something of a pressure. You just feel that it's a God pressure. And you know what to do. And you know what the next step is. And God will help you with that. Okay, who needs some big picture vision? Without vision, the people perish. Who needs some big picture propelling purpose? Future? Call of God, mission, something, future that God wants to speak over the big picture of your life. I'm going to pray for you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you care about us. You care about all our needs. And God, you care about what you want to use us for. You've prepared good works in advance for us to do. Lord, so I just pray for all these women right now, Lord, with their hands up that need something of the big picture of God. They maybe have the reading glasses, that's sorted. They get the reading glasses, but they need something of long vision or that kind of future vision, Lord, something that's in the future to help them with the long-term kind of direction. Lord, I just pray that you'll start to speak to them very, very clearly. For someone, I think there's a decision. It could be to do with your location, and it feels like the compass is maybe kind of swinging from east to west. Maybe it's somebody here that there's kind of a decision being made about your future, and you feel like, which way is it going to go, God? Because I haven't got a clue. I want to say, God is ordering today. There's been kind of two plans over that. There's been the plan of the enemy to kind of confuse the situation and mess with it, but there's a plan of God, and we pray the plan of God over your lives, that God directs the hands of even non-Christians. God directs the hands of people that may be a pharaoh in your life. God directs the hands of those that are rulers and leaders, that you think there's no way that God Almighty can direct the pen of their hand, and God will direct the pen of their hand in his name. There's been a battle on over somebody's life to do with location, and it's been a nightmare. You've been having nightmares about it, and you've been freaking out about it, but God is saying he's directing the pen of somebody you consider to be a pharaoh. And today, God is saying, let my people go in my direction. For some of you, I know the specific situation here. I don't need a word of knowledge for this one particularly. But if you're needing some grace, I'm going to ask, really, for some of my American sisters, really, if you're needing some grace today, just kind of, they say that when you go to another nation, you know, it's all right for a bit, and then some of the stuff gets under your skin a bit. Do you know what I mean? About where you are, because it's not home. It doesn't feel great right now, and that's no offense to where we are right now, but just pop your hands in the air if you need just a bit of grace for the space that you're in right now. Just a bit of grace. I'm not saying about church or anything like that. I'm just talking about Britain. You're just needing some grace. You need to say, God, I need your help. Because like right now, given the choice, if I had the opportunity, I'd be back where I want to be. But you're needing grace for the space that you're in. I'm just going to pray for those women. Lord, I just pray for grace for those people, Lord, that are just finding it really, really hard right now. Lord, I just pray for grace for that space that they're in. Lord, I just pray, Lord, unusual blessing, unusual favor from people. Lord, where maybe some of the locals in the area have not been that nice from time to time, Lord, I pray that people will smile at you. People will make way for you. People will give you good deals in the shops. People will go out of their way to make it good for you here. People will give you favor beyond what you know. In Jesus' name, I'm praying that. Because you're a child of the King. How dare they come against the child of the King in any way, shape, or form? And God is going to protect your eyes and even shield your eyes and protect you from people. Just a real quick story. There was a time when we were in a meeting, and in a certain situation, and God actually protected the eyes of my husband from seeing somebody who was actually there. And afterwards, we found out that that person was in the room, but we didn't even see them from somebody else. It was kind of weird. God can protect your eyes from those that would really seek to upset you. Neighbors, people around, people that have been really upsetting you. God's going to close the mouth of the lions. And I'm just going to pray one last prayer. I'm going to pray for us all, and then I'm going to hand over to Amber. And I think we're nearing closing. So I'm going to ask us all to stand, please, and just open our hearts to God. Some of us have got different expressions about how we do that. For me, I stick my hands in the air. That may not be you. And that doesn't mean that you've not opened your heart to God. Just open your heart to God right now. And if you want him to use you in the greater purposes of God in the earth, which is to see the unsaved saved, to see those people that don't know Christ yet, let's just open our hearts to what God sees. You know, when you're walking through the supermarket, when you're walking, you know, in the airbase or wherever you walk around, I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but wherever you walk in, there are people there that do not know Christ, that are blinded, that do not know the ways of God, that do not know there's a God in heaven that sent his son, Jesus, to die for them. Help us to open our eyes to what it is that you want to do through our lives, Lord, that it's more than about just us, Lord. It's more than about us. Lord, we think about Joseph in the Old Testament. He was very Joseph-centric, but actually his life was about rescuing Israel. Lord, and our lives are more than about rescuing ourselves, Lord. Our lives are about the people that we meet in our streets. Lord, the difficult people, the people that are down, desperate, upset. There's people that live across the road from you, ladies. There's people that live next door. There's people that run shops that are kind of searching for answers everywhere. And we need to be open to being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses unto Jesus. And you know that word witness in the original language? It can mean literally witnesses, that I have seen Jesus, I know him, he's in my life, he's real, that kind of witness. And it also mean witness unto death. And I'm not saying that we're going to die for the gospel. I pray none of us do. But it does mean some death to self. It really does. Because I ain't going to look cool when I'm talking about Jesus at the checkout. But if God's telling me to do it, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. Who wants to be empowered to live an exciting life? Come on. To see Jesus expressed through our lives. To see the lame and pray for them. The person that's crying on the park bench to go and pray for them. To have the boldness in God. The old lady that looks so lonely every day at the bus stop. Just go and say, hi, how are you? Whatever age and stage you're at, young, the youngest person here, the oldest person here, God wants to use you. You may feel, oh, I'm past it. I'm too old. God can't use me. I want to say, God can use you. And I've seen God use the older generation to bless the older generation and to bless others. To almost be a mother in Israel. I want to bless everybody here today in the name of Jesus. I pray God will expand your territories, expand your thinking, expand your mindset, renew your minds, give you a vision of the future, of hope, of promise, of purpose over your lives. Grab on to what God said to you today. He can heal, He can restore, He can do something new in your life. Some of you have been listening to the old school record, and God is saying, snap the record, sing to me a new song. Sing to me a new song. God, you're amazing. God, you're awesome. God, I'll praise you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I will praise you. I will praise you today, Lord Jesus. 2017, I'm going to sing a new song. It's not a song of mourning. It's a song of dancing. You're going to turn my mourning into dancing. In Jesus' name. Who's with me on that? Yeah? Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, God. Amen. Woo. So listen, ladies. We've got a finale for you. We've got an end. I know we've run a little bit over, and if you need to leave, that's okay. Go with love. No one's going to judge you for that. But if you can stay and just give us another 10 or 15 minutes, then stay. This is going to be worth it. Dance team are going to come, and they're going to perform a song, Oceans. Many of you will know it. And then we're going to go into just a final time of worship. Seal the deal. Yeah, rise to the occasion. What Rachel has been speaking this afternoon has been full of life. I can feel it in me. I'm not ready to stop yet. It's full of life. It's prophecy and it's truth. And so